Americans, here's Mail Call, one big package of fun and music delivered to you by the stars you want to hear in answer to the requests you send to Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. Eve ho, me hearties, with a flourish and a sweep. Here's the prize package of the deep, Mail Call. And if you want to know what makes the waves wild and the ocean roar, here she is, the only person in the world who can be both a hot dish and a dead pan, Virginia O'Brien. Virginia, we are glad to see you aboard tonight, and to show you I really mean that, I'm going to let you introduce our skipper for this cruise.
Thank you for the honor, Bernard. Fellas, the skipper is famous both on the stage and in the movies. Yes, tonight, you passengers on the good ship Mail Call are indeed in luck. Where else could you find such a beautiful singing voice, attractive face, and charming manner? But that's enough about me. Here comes our skipper, George Murphy.
Thank you, Virginia, thank you. Sure, it's a gay old time the folks will be having when the Murphys and the O'Briens go sailing over the briny deep together. Faith, and it's good to see you, Virginia. Ah, Faith, but I'm glad to be aboard the good ship Mail Call. And Faith...
Yes, get your Faith.
You know, Virginia, that's what I like about you. You're not like the other girls. You're different.
Secure that line, Skipper. I've heard it before.
No, really, Virginia. You're so lovely, so poised, so extremely intelligent.
So what?
So how about a date after the show?
Sorry, George, but there's one O'Brien gal who doesn't believe in dates. As a matter of fact, she never had one. She doesn't drink or smoke. She's never kissed a man. And she's in bed by 8 o'clock every night.
Oh, I think it's wonderful of you to be like that, Virginia.
Me? I'm talking about Margaret O'Brien.
Well, that old one.
As for me, what would I be doing going out with you? I'm just a nobody, and you're a big name.
Well, now, wait a minute. Don't bother to call me the name. Honestly, Virginia, I wouldn't say that you're nobody. After all, you were featured in the Harvey Girls, weren't you?
Yes.
Now you're one of the up-and-coming young stars. Aren't you in Metro Ziegfeld Follies?
Yes, George. I have a very nice spot in the picture.
What are you, one of the Ziegfeld glorified girls?
No, I'm one of the Follies.
Gee, I wish a folly like you would happen to me.
Well, shut my mouth if it isn't Meredith Wilson.
Well, how's the music department coming along, Meredith?
Oh, I managed to keep my skin and bones covered. But
it shows.
I say, it isn't like the good old days when we had vaudeville, eh, George?
Yeah, those were the days. Remember the Palace in New York?
Oh, and those one-night stands.
And those French fresh corned beef sandwiches at the Delicatessen.
And those crowded dressing rooms, always smelling of grease paint.
Oh, and those overnight hops by bus.
Yeah, and those fresh corned beef sandwiches at the Delicatessen.
Say, Meredith, just for fun, what do you say if we give the fellas an idea of what a vaudevillian's life was like?
Well, I'm game.
Me too.
Okay, hang on, here we go.
Hello, Bagel's Booking Agency. We have an act for every purse. You can't do better. You could do worse. Yes, yes. What do you say? What? You want to hire Harry James for a month's engagement in Alaska? But why? Oh, so Betty Grable will be alone for a change. Okay, I'll see what I can do, Mr. Hope. Come in.
Is this Flea Trap the Bagel Booking Agency?
Well, it ain't the Saratoga Trunk.
Well, it's dark enough in here. How come you're eating your lunch in your office?
These days, it's tough to buy a $2 steak.
If you buy a 50-cent one, it's tougher.
Look, I'm a busy man. Did you want to see me about bookings?
Yeah. You Bagel?
No, I'm Agent Meredith Wilson, general manager.
Make up your mind, Bob. First you're an agent, then you're a manager. What do you want, 2 10% commissions?
I don't think much of this place, George. Look at all the old actors' pictures on the wall.
Yeah. I don't think this guy has booked an act since Valentino was back in Theta Barra had him.
Say, just who are you two, anyway?
Should we tell them who we are, Virginia?
Oh, no. Let him guess.
Okay. Look, Wilson. Who was it that broke every record in theaters all over the country? Who was it astounded the critics with a vibrant, pulsating performance? Who was it stood audiences on their ear with a daring, revealing exhibition of compact, outstanding talent?
Jane Russell and the Outlaw, but who are you?
Murphy and O'Brien, we sing and dance divine. We're Murphy and O'Brien, we sparkle and we shine. We're a hot song and dance team, we're a little off the beam. We knock them dead, we're talented, our act is just a scream.
Fortunately, at this point, words fail me. Now, just where have you played?
Oh, we just finished 3 days at the Bijou.
That's not very long.
It's long enough to lay an egg, hatch it, and teach it how to fly.
Oh, I'm murderous tonight.
Our contract just expired today.
Must have died a horrible death.
Oh, give us a break, Mr. Wilson. We're a swell act.
Yeah, we roll them in the aisle.
Never mind the crap game. What kind of an act do you have?
Well, it's like this. First, we come on with a fast gag, see? I start like this. I say to Virginia, what's that you're reading, Virginia? A cookbook?
It ain't Forever Amber.
Oh, it kills him. Tell me, Virginia, what's your favorite dish?
It's made with deer meat and chicken, George. I call it the Hooper's Delight.
The Hooper's Delight?
Yeah, buck and wing.
Wow! Oh, there's not a seat left in the house. Then I do a triple buck and wing with a combination sauce shoe and a fast shuffle off the buffalo, finishing with a stagger on the last 8 bars.
A stagger on the last 8 bars.
Well, sure. How many bars can you hit before you stagger? And then when Virginia's doing her turn, I come in for a quick one-step, two-step.
And when the landlady comes in for the rent, you should see him sidestep.
Now, look, kids. I hate to disappoint you, but you haven't got the right kind of an act. It's corny. People want something a little more modern these days, like, good music, for example. I've got an act auditioning in the next room that's really got something. It's modern, up-to-date stuff with the accent on class and dignity. I would like for you to listen to them.
Well, who are they?
Who are they? Why, Abigail and Buddy.
Get that curve out of the way. Watch it fly.
You see what I mean? Class, dignity. And above all things, up to date. Now, tell me, do you sing, Mr. Bryan?
Do I sing?
Mm-hmm.
Do I sing?
Mm-hmm.
Why, Dinah Shore and I are in the same racket.
You are?
She certainly is. Dinah makes more money, but Virginia makes more rackets.
Well, is your verse diversified? That is to say, is your voice diversified?
I think I know what you mean, and I'll say it is.
It is.
But she has so much depth to her verse, voice, it sounds like she's singing right from the bottom of a well.
Well, what I need is a versatile vocalist. Now, is she versatile?
She's versatile. Have you ever heard of anyone who can hum, whistle, warble, sing, and hang upside down by her toes?
Can she do all that?
No, but her canary can. Maybe a small bird, too. Sorry, little bird.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, little pigeon. But I'm not booking bird acts this season. And how about you, Mr. Murphy? Can you sing a ballad?
Mr. Wilson, I can sing a ballad. I can sing a torch song. Boogie woogie, swim, yip rack, bebop.
How's that again?
Yip rock, bebop.
A bicarbonate would take care of that nicely. Well, Mr. Murphy, I could use a dance scene, but frankly, you're not the type. A dancer should always be happy, smiling. You look too sad.
Can I help it if I have worries?
He sure has. Fred Astaire, Gene Kelly.
Quiet. With your tongue and a loaf of bread, you could open a delicatessen. Bring your own mustard.
Tell me, Murphy, how old are you?
Oh, I've seen 25 summers.
Yeah? How many winters?
I live in California, bub.
Bagel's booking agency, long engagements and one-night stands, crummy comics, lousy bands. Yeah? What? The Chinese? Good, I got just the act for you. How would you two like a long run at Gruesome Chinese?
In Hollywood?
No, Shanghai.
Well, now, wait a minute. I don't want to be too hasty. You know, a thing like that, we've got to think this thing over. You know, you got to think it over. We'll take it.
Good. You sail noon tomorrow. I'll get the tickets for you.
Gee, thanks.
We'll have free run of the entire boat. But on the way over, just remember one thing.
Yes?
Don't mingle with the cattle.
Oh, thanks, Virginia O'Brien and Meredith Wilson, for that bit of nostalgic nonsense. And now Meredith goes serious for approximately 2 minutes with the orchestra and his chiffon version of Till the End of Time. Meredith Wilson. You know, I could go on for hours telling of my early experiences with our next guests, George Burns and Gracie Allen. You know, all the ups and downs, the early vaudeville days, how tough it was, how we all got our hands caught in the same slot machine at the automat. But to tell you the truth, it never happened that way. When I first met George and Gracie, they were already very famous. And I was like any one of their radio fans, tremendously anxious to know them in person. I found them two of the nicest people that I've ever come across, and I'm proud to call them my friends. George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Mr. Murphy, for that lovely introduction.
Yeah, that was awfully nice of you, Skipper.
Well, I meant it, George. You know, I wish I'd met you and Gracie back in Fordable.
Well, did you know George gave me my start?
No.
Well, he told me I could team up with him, and if I made a hit, he'd split the salary with me.
That's right.
Oh, gee, I sure hope I make a hit someday.
Keep trying, you'll make it.
You mean George still doesn't split the salary with you?
Well, why should he? He never really needed me. He was a big celebrity in vaudeville before he ever met me.
Big celebrity? I thought he had a dog act.
But he was still a celebrity. When George walked out on the stage with those 40 dogs, everybody recognized him.
We did pretty well for a dog act. Got good billing, too. When we played a town, they put our pictures on every signboard and telephone pole.
Oh, yeah. And were those dogs conceited? They wanted to stop at every
one of... Never mind.
You know, Gracie, that was a strange way for a romance to start.
Oh, our romance started when George was still touring the country with the dog act. He courted me by mail.
He did, huh?
Mm-hmm. I'll never forget those glorious love letters he wrote me. Precious little nuggets of passion.
Yeah, old passionate George.
Yeah. Oh, they were so beautiful. He signed each letter, Booksy Boy.
Booksy Boy?
Yes.
My, what a command of English.
Forget those letters, will
you?
Forget them.
George, I remember every word you ever wrote to me. Those letters are branded in my heart. Burned there by love's little blowtorch.
Gracie, the skipper isn't interested in those letters.
Oh, yes, I am. Yes, I am. Let's hear a few, Gracie.
Well, would you like to hear the one where George first hinted that he wanted to marry me?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Forget it.
It was such a subtle hint. It went like this. Dearest Gracie, I played Cleveland yesterday and the weather was awful. I woke up in the middle of the night and my feet were cold as ice. Get it?
I get it.
Actually, he's not interested in that stuff.
Oh, George knew I had a weakness for poetry, too. He wrote me some adorable little poems. So touching.
I get it.
Oh, darling, I'm proud of your talent. Listen to this, Captain. I'm thinking of you, though you're far away. I miss you and need you. I want you each day. Without you, my darling, I'm hardly alive. I'm lonely, I'm blue, I'm broke, send me five. beautiful, huh?
A masterpiece.
Gracie, if you don't
mind... Now, here's another one. I long to be with you, my Belle, but they hold my trunk at the Grand Hotel. And so you're in my thoughts again. I love you, darling. Send me 10.
They get shorter.
And sweeter.
I just assume you'd
break yourself. Now, listen to this. I love you lots. I love you plenty. I love you madly. Send me 20.
What passion.
Gracie, will you stop?
I didn't know George had it in him.
Touching, huh?
Constantly.
Now, this is the last one he wrote, and the shortest.
Let's hear it.
Your nifty 1050.
All right, that's enough now. Forget
it. Oh, there's one more letter that Mr. Murphy must hear. Oh, it's so beautiful.
What is it?
Well, this is the one in which George finally did propose to me.
Really beautiful, huh?
Divine. Listen. Dearest Gracie, I can no longer stand the shame of borrowing money from the girl I'm engaged to. Let's get married.
Say, Shakespeare could take a few lessons from that kid.
Look, will you two stop?
Ah, what tender memories. I'd better leave you two alone so you can talk them over.
Oh, thank you, Skipper.
And thanks for always being a real friend, Murph. You know, you were the first big star who ever encouraged me. Years ago, you told me I had a wonderful talent.
Well, you still have a wonderful talent, George.
Well, thanks.
But you better take my advice and stay married to her. I'll see you later.
Gracie, you embarrassed me by quoting those love letters in front of George Murphy. Why did you ever memorize them anyhow?
Well, it was the only way I could remember how much you owed me.
I see.
Remember when you came back from that vaudeville tour and started courting me in person? Wow.
Oh, stop.
I was so excited. I was hoping you'd bring me flowers because Mama had such a lovely remembrance of her first date with Papa. He brought her flowers and she saved everyone. She pressed them between the pages of a book.
She did, huh?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you brought me chocolates, remember?
Mm.
My, I'd love to see them today. Wish I could get that book open.
You know, talking about our courtship really brings back memories, doesn't it?
Oh, yes. You were so sweet when you were courting me. Every 10 minutes you told me how beautiful I was.
Don't I still do that?
No. And you don't realize that a woman loves to be told she's beautiful. Even women who aren't beautiful love to be told they are. Although there, of course, I'm only guessing.
Of course.
You were so nice to me in those days. You're so thoughtful. But now how do you treat me? Just like I was married to you.
But we are married. The preacher conducted a legal ceremony and pronounced us man and wife.
Well, he certainly killed a beautiful friendship.
Yeah, we were buddies. Gee, Gracie, you sound like you're sorry you married me.
Oh, no, darling. I'm proud that I married you. And I want the whole world to know how proud I am. Why, the next time you have your picture taken, I want them to photograph you in X-ray.
X-ray?
Yeah, to show the people who keep asking me what I see in you.
I see what you mean.
Well, there's never a day goes by that I don't thank my lucky stars I married you.
Well, I'm...
What a man you are. A rare combination of delicacy and strength. Like a fine old cheese.
Thanks.
You're what every wife dreams about. The perfect lover.
Oh, honey.
How about a kiss right now?
Oh, Grace.
Oh, God. Come on. Scorch me, lava lips.
Gracie, there are 800 people out there.
I'd rather kiss you than any of them.
Well, okay, here's a kiss.
No, wait a minute. I better grab hold of the microphone. I might swoon. All right. I'm ready. Oh, what a bargain our marriage was. What I got for $2.
Oh, Gracie, I'm not so much.
Not so much? I wouldn't trade you for any glamour boy in the movie.
Not for Walter Pigeon?
Certainly not.
Cary Grant?
No, sir.
Charles Boyer?
No.
How about Clark Gable?
George, you should have quit when you were ahead.
I think so.
Thanks a lot for being aboard tonight, George Burns and Gracie Allen. Oh, Virginia.
Yes, George.
Well, looks like we're about to head back into port. How about giving the passengers a chorus or two of the number you sing with such feeling in the Follies?
You mean Bring On Those Wonderful Men?
I don't mean the pickle in the middle and the mustard on top.
No sooner said than sung, George. This yap about glorifying dames leaves me like a cold potato. I'd much rather be with a handsome he like Van Johnson, who's a real tomato. For a date with Fred McMurray, you can bet your life I'd hurry, and a guy like Misha Hour has me completely in his power. In fact, most any man I see is the only layman for me. Whee! Bring on those wonderful men. Bring me an elegant guy. A soldier or sailor, a gable or tailor, a short or a tall one. I just want to call one my own private wonderful he. Bring what you can to me. Bring me a guy to pin up. Bring me a prince on a horse. A dark or a light one. I just want a sight one who call me his missus and give with the kisses. I'm afraid of a terrible yes. For the wonderful M-E-N. Amour, amour. There must be someone for me, but what's he waiting for? No hope, no soap. If they don't appear, I fear I'm at the end of my rope. So bring on a male who ain't frail. Bring me a man from a cave. Someone to relax with and pay and come back with. And though he's from hunger, I'm not getting younger. And I'd like to get on with my plan to glorify the American man. I know the he's are few, but what's a gal to do? I'll get a man before I'm through. Hey, you in the third row. Bring on those wonderful men.
Nice going, Virginia, and thank you. And that fella ties up the good chip mail call for another week. But before we leave you, there's just one more thing that I'd like very much to say. As president of the Screen Actors Guild and the Hollywood Coordinating Committee, I want to assure you that the Coordinating Committee and the Armed Forces Radio Service will continue to send you the programs that you request and enjoy. I've seen how much entertainment is meant to you men. It's important to you, but not half so important as the job that you're doing for us. Certainly, it is not an easy task to purge men's minds of intolerance. Intolerance of race, color, and creed. Intolerance of the true meaning of democracy. But as our ambassadors of goodwill, it's your job to clear away those cobwebs so that every man everywhere may enjoy the freedom of a healthy world. Remember the future. You're building it. This is George Murphy saying goodnight.
So another mail call letter is secure. Tonight's signatures include George Murphy, George Burns and Gracie Allen, Virginia O'Brien, Abigail and Buddy, the Armed Forces Radio Service Orchestra, directed by Meredith Wilson, and yours truly, Sergeant Bernard Dudley. This program was arranged with the cooperation of the Hollywood Coordinating Committee. Another mail call will be coming your way the next time you hear... Thank you.